If we have a crisis scenario coming on, maybe it's a pandemic, or maybe it could be a climate disaster of some sort, or we also talk about disinformation that could be harmful for society as a whole. And in that case, this could trigger a hyper-aware AI orchestrated first response.
You're listening to the Corbett Report.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to the Corbett Report. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you in July of 2025 with a conversation on the agentic state. Specifically, we are talking about a white paper that was recently released by the Global Government Technology Center in Berlin. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is the Global Government Technology Center? And what is the agentic state? And what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, if those are your questions, I have some answers for you. More specifically, I think today's guest will have some answers for you. He is none other than Jacob Nordengard, who you will undoubtedly be familiar with by now, at least from our previous conversations. Please check the Corbett Report archives if you are not familiar with that, and please check out his work directly. Of course, he is at jacobnordengard.se. He's also at the Pharos Chronicles on Substack. He's also the Mad Doctor in Wardenclyffe, if you happen to be musically inclined. But let's bring him back on the program. Jacob, thank you for joining us again today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. It's a
It is my
pleasure.
pleasure to have you. Well, it would be a pleasure if we weren't talking about such serious subject matter,
Yeah.
but here we go again, back into the heart of darkness. Specifically, your recent article on Welcome to Your Nightmare, the Externalization of the Agentic State. So I guess we should probably start with those basic introductory questions that I raised at the beginning here. Specifically, what is the Global Government Technology Center, and what does it have to say about the agentic state?
Well, this center, it's part of a World Economic Forum Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution network. And they started this center October last year. It was decided during the Davos summit in 2024 that they would create this center. And they happened to think that Berlin was the perfect location for this center. And since they have also started a center in Kyiv, in Ukraine, and they have invited United Arab Emirates as a founding member to this network. And what they are doing, it's about gov tech. And gov tech is how the fourth industrial revolution will transform governments within the next couple of years.
You know, I recently had a podcast about algocracy, which is a term that we could use for the coming of this algorithmically defined government that governments around the world are really starting to talk about and starting to implement. But here it is actually a sort of white paper blueprint roadmap for how to start implementing AI technology in everyday governance so that we can be more effectively ruled over by our AI overlords. This is the agentic state, which they are seeking to bring about, in which this white paper goes through. Tell us about this concept of the agentic state and what it entails.
Yes, the agentic state, and this is the quote from the report, signifies a fundamental shift in governance where AI systems can perceive, reason, and act with minimal human intervention to deliver public value. So it basically means that they will don't humans are in the way in government. It's more efficient to do it with AI agents instead. So that's what the agentic state is. And also, we talk about agentic AI. And I have another definition from, this is from IBM. Agentic AI is an artificial intelligence system that can accomplish a specific goal with limited supervision. It consists of AI agents, machine learning models that mimic human decision making to solve problems in real time. In a multi-agent system, each agent performs a specific task, subtask, required to reach the goal, and their efforts are coordinated through AI orchestration. How does that sound?
That doesn't sound very appealing to me, but I understand why it would appeal to the technocrats who are seeking to consolidate power in fewer and fewer hands, and then to essentially automate the enslavement of the tax cattle, which is exactly what is happening here. And as you go on to talk about in your article, they, in this report, which we will, of course, it will be linked up in the show notes. I hope people will go and actually read this report for themselves. Please do not take Jacob's word for it. Do not take my word for it. Go and read it for yourself. So you can see we're not joking around about this. They are absolutely proposing the dawning of the AI governance. But as you say, they describe 10 functional layers of government ordered in three dimensions: operations, regulation and government governance, and foundations. And it ranges from the seemingly innocuous service delivery. Oh, they'll be able to offer services in any language with personal concierge services. It will be 24/7. It'll be so convenient. Or internal workflows from manual casework to outcome-driven agents with humans on the loop. Okay, great. But it starts to get pretty ominous pretty quickly, specifically as you talk about. A couple of the categories here really are, well, deserve further scrutiny, specifically the crisis response and resilience, and also compliance and reporting. Can you tell us how these particular manifestations of AI governance are going to be used to more perfectly enslave humanity?
Well, they talk in this report about polycrisis or polycrisis management. And polycrisis, this is a term that I think it originated with the World Economic Forum originally, and it has since been used by my fellow countryman, Johan Rockström, a very prominent climate scientist. And also Antonio Guterres from the UN Secretary General. And they have warned what will happen if we don't act and put this new system together to confront these polycrises. This is mentioned in this white paper. It states that our world isn't prepared for this world of cascading geopolitical, technical, environmental, and social shocks. But they have the solution. It can be countered with what we label as intelligent systems. And an intelligent system is, it's a system without humans. If we have a crisis scenario coming on, maybe it's a pandemic, or maybe it could be a climate disaster of some sort, or we also talk about disinformation that could be harmful for society as a whole. And in that case, this could trigger a hyper-aware AI-orchestrated first response. Does that sound creepy? Does it remind us of something? If someone has watched some sci-fi movies from the 80s, maybe?
Yes. Well, yeah. There is always the specter of Skynet hanging over this conversation in general. But even more creepily, what really stuck out to me, as you rightly point out, part of the crisis response proposal that they are putting in this agentic state white paper is a simulation infrastructure with the claimed ability to predict the future. Oh, great. So it will be able to, of course, not only sort out this polycrisis in real time as it's developing, but even warn us about it before it develops. Everything we do will be analyzed and simulated with the help of virtual twins, which is a particularly interesting idea because it goes back to what I have been talking about for a decade and a half now with regards to research that is at least 2.5 decades old by now about the creation of your digital twin in the program whose name is escaping my attention as I am speaking, but Brock will handily put the image on screen for people because I will remember it as soon as we're done speaking. I forget what it was called at the time. Oh, Sentient World Simulation. That is it. Which was a DARPA-sponsored project from over 2 decades ago that suddenly went, who knows where it went? It just suddenly disappeared and they stopped talking about it. But even at that time, 2 decades ago, they were working on a virtual digital twin of every single person on the planet, feeding it in all this data so it could predict the future. And here it is, rising up again in this agentic state white paper. What a coincidence. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's no coincidences. It's just, it's the right time for them now. And this is a part of the revolution, the fourth industrial revolution, started with the COVID spectacle, and now they have released a couple of other reports about this shift, and they also this is of course it's a big business opportunity with governments all over the world transforming, They say World Economic Forum in a report $9.8 trillion. So it's a huge market for these tech giants, and as we know, these people are in charge. They are the masters, so it's very hard to avoid this scenario.
And as you point out in the subtitle even, this is the externalization of the agentic state in the same way we're seeing the externalization of the hierarchy in 2025, I suppose. And so here comes the mechanism by which this hierarchy is going to inflict its rule on the population just in time for this 2025 great unveiling, right? Yeah. So this does tie into a lot of the work that you've been doing along these lines. Tell people about that.
Yes, it's from my book, the Temple of Solomon book, that I talk about Lucy's Trust, the neo theosophy of Alice Bailey, and the books she authored with the help from one of the hidden masters of Tibet, Jwal Kul. And in one of these books, Externalization of a Hierarchy, it's his words. He says that from 2025, the hierarchy will begin to externalize. And as I mentioned in our earlier episodes, we have seen some of the masters coming out, the real power players, that now are more visible. It's their world, and that's their technologies, and they are the ones that will define the broad the broad goals for society.
Yeah, maybe the suicidal goals.
Yeah. That was a Freudian kind of. well, shouldn't be laughing, but it's kind of serious. But
we laugh not to cry, as I often have the opportunity to observe here.
Yeah. But it's so. It's so idiotic, and but it's just this sci-fi dystopia scenario, and it's like they actually think this is a good thing to do.
For people to get a handle on what this can involve, one of the things that you include in your article is the throwback to Al Gore's climate trace, which I believe he unveiled at the World Economic Forum or talked about at some point, which is going to be, how do we enforce compliance of these regulatory emissions, curbing greenhouse gas agreements that all these countries are signing? How can we keep track of it? Oh, I know, we'll have satellites in the air that will be keeping track of all emissions at all times. And, oh, by the way, probably everything else people are doing and where they're going on a daily basis and all of that. But at any rate, that will not be, of course, looked over and studied and analyzed by human beings. It will be fed into the algorithmic data beast. And the AI will tell us who is being a good boy and who is being a naughty boy. Exactly like, for example, Palantir's AI systems were being used by the IAEA to tell us that Iran is there's something wrong there. I think they're being naughty boys, which led to the censure of Iran by the IAEA and then the subsequent bombing of Iran. This is how things work in the new world order. Some algorithm somewhere will determine whether or not you are in compliance with the rules that have been laid down and what that punishment that should be meted out for breaking those rules should be. And to me, one of the craziest parts of this is that they're not even really trying to hide the sort of nightmarish aspects of this. As you say, the authors rightly conclude that this new regime, this agentic state presided over by these AI algorithms, quote, challenges contemporary notions of inclusion and participatory decision-making, end quote. You don't think so? But they don't think it has to be less democratic. So how do they think democracy and citizen participation should be accommodated? Well, you include this quote, rather than operating solely through top-down regulatory adjustments, agentic policy systems could also learn from citizen signals, feedback loops such as appeals, time-to-resolution metrics, or even emotion detection in digital interactions. Emotion detection in digital interactions could become inputs for agent-guided policy refinement. In this model, the boundary between policy implementation and adjustment becomes porous. Agents adjust rules not only based on macro-level KPIs, but also from bottom-up input and friction indicators. You see, we're all a part of this big data behemoth, so it's okay. It's learning from us. We're learning from it. It's a wonderful, virtuous system, according to them, right?
Yes, this is the world organism. And I have written about this in my books with a vision for this. One of the more important players was Oliver Reiser, who described the development of a world sensorium or a world brain based on H.G. Wells' idea of a world brain. But with all the technologies we have today. And he stated that people in the future would be just be cells in this big organism. And that we had to develop a brain, a brain organ for this whole new organism. It was like, he actually referenced it to music. It would be like playing in an orchestra with all the people. And it's kind of megalomaniac. But of course, we have a lot of important people and players with lots of money that likes these ideas. And I mean, it has always been a thing for powerful people to get people to get in line. And armies and lining up and marching in.
Do you think they really believe their own propaganda here? Do you think they really believe that this is going to be the most wonderful way to run society? Or do you think that they are simply foisting this on the public as essentially a cover for the way that power has always operated and presumably always will operate in these oligarchical structures, which is top-down, a few people making the decisions that then propagate out? Do you think that they, maybe the GGTC level, these are not the top-level operators, running the scheme. They probably are the true believers who actually believe in this agentic state stuff, right?
Yeah, they are essentially nerds into computer technology and the marvels of what can it achieve, and it's so exciting, and we are part of it, and I think they have probably played computer games for a large part of their lives and view everything accordingly, but of course the real players in high places, they want this system for another purpose, taking over as masters.
And, exactly.
So,
for people who are just sort of dipping into this for the first time and don't know, your book on Temple of Solomon goes through in great degree of detail about this world brain idea and how it ties into the larger occultic ideas that are this hierarchy is operating on, in which now they are externalizing and showing themselves to the world. Tell us about the book, what's in it, how people could find it.
The book, yes, it's actually a very special project, because I wrote it, the chapters in the book are also songs on an album by my band Warningcliff. So I wanted to tell this story with music and the lyrics, but also explain them in this book with, and I go through the history back to Dr. John Dee in the 1500s. And the connections to esoteric occult ideas that evolved out of this theosophy. Discuss Aleister Crowley and Rosicrucianism and all these things that have a very important, especially Rosicrucianism and the scientific revolution and ideas of evolving yourself. Being perfected, that's ideas from Freemasonry, for example. Some of the ideas, I mean, it's not bad to actually want to be a better person, of course, but if you you do it with cheating and doing with technology, that's not a good thing, I think. So I go through this occult history, and I also dive into how this has affected the world of today and the technological development, and this idea to create this kind of world organism. I discuss Oliver Reiser, of course, and also the New Age movement, and how these ideas are connected to a lot of what's happening in New Age. And that's also very interesting with New Age also being a lot of people during the pandemic that were critical against what happened was from the New Age community. But if you go into it, it's like, and this is how it works with controlling opposition. So the ideas in the opposing team, they will lead to the same thing in the end. This technological solution and the New Age thing is... but I have uncovered is something that I label as techno-spiritualism. to achieve these ideas with being connected to the divine and with help of technology. But I also go through the strategies and techniques that has been used to further these ideas. And in the end, I give a kind of a personal story on why I think this will fail in the end. And that's based on my experiences in life.
You know what, that maybe that is the most important part of this conversation, because of course it is extremely dark to be contemplating these types of agentic state machinations and the AI overlords and how they're going to manipulate and control reality. But as you say, and as you make the case at the end of your book, this is going to fail. So maybe you should explain why that is, because I think we need to hear a little bit about that.
Well, they talk about intelligence. But it's not intelligence. It's nothing there. It's just algorithms. There's something that is missing. And as I explain in my personal story, there's another sort of intelligence, kind of natural intelligence. Someone would call it like a divine intelligence. Something that it's outside us and also connects us. And in my life and as a researcher, I have kind of tapped into this. It has given me insights and ideas and also in miraculous ways connected me to other people. And that had me, so I have come to the conclusion that, well, I have been helped. Something has helped me. My conclusion is that you cannot, I usually talk about this with a computer game metaphor, with you cannot be one of the avatars in a computer game and think that you can defeat the one that has created this from the beginning. It's not possible. So I think we also have a mechanism in the world we're living, the universe, the everything, the cosmos that we are a part of, that prevents such a thing to occur. It's like we have an algorithm in the big system that we are a part of that prevents us from taking over everything, and also you cannot get rid of humanity because of that. So that's what I believe, and I hope that belief is right. But it's based on experience.
Yep. I think there is certainly something to that belief, and I hope people will at least take a look at this book, because yes, the path from the original 007, Dr. John Dee, to the agentic state AI overlords, from 007 to HAL, is an interesting through line, and there is a connecting thread, and you go through in a lot of detail specific names and dates and people, and you talk about these events and connect them in ways that I think are understandable, and hey, you get a kick-ass CD to boot. So me and Sean have been listening to the Wardenclyffe CD, and we thoroughly approve. So good job on that. It must be a remarkably difficult thing to meld all this together and create art out of it, but you managed it somehow.
It took 10 years, and I also had to find good people in a band that could deliver this and create this. So, yeah. And I'm very, very happy that you mention also the music, because I think, and that was one of the statements with, because I wanted to show real human creativity and also connect the. I have this very, very thorough research side in me, but I also have this artistic side, So I always wanted to combine this, because I think that that's to be a whole person. And also because of the AI development, and now with music that is done by AI system, and it's just so wrong. So I wanted to do something that, and also collaborate with other artists and illustrator, and no AI art in this book. Everything for real. Done with human hands, and sometimes, you know, of course, we have technology to help us, but I think it should help us and help our creativity to reach more people and so on, but not be not take over our job, not take over because that's one of the things that I have. It's so wrong thinking with. Getting rid of the meaning of life, because that's what we are doing. If we're trying to create this perfect system, and we don't have to do anything, we just become drones and taking orders, information from somewhere, and just
we essentially line. Just become another line of code in the grand system for these designers of the world brain. And that is not my place in this world. I am a natural sovereign human being expressing myself in whatever creative ways that come to me. And I think that we need to retain that humanity, because it is under attack at all levels. And if people want to start knowing a little bit more about that attack, I would highly recommend that they go. We've just scratched the surface of this conversation, but there's much more information in that aforementioned article, Welcome to Your Nightmare, The Externalization of the Agentic State, where you can find the link to the Global Government Technology Center and the white paper that we've been discussing. And then, of course, people can go to jakobnordengard.se to purchase the books, both Temple of Solomon and The Digital World Brain. Is that the best place for people to go?
Yes, the Temple of Solomon book, it's you can only buy it from directly from my web shop. So it's kind of a special thing. I have other books you can obtain from the enemy, like Amazon, the Rockefeller book, and also the Global Coup d'Etat. That's good books if you want to go into my work and the a lot of a background the Temple of Solomon is the kind of last piece of a puzzle of this.
Fittingly so. All right. Yeah. Well, I think we have talked about a lot today. I think we'll probably leave this conversation here today, but I hope we can talk again in the future, because this obviously swirls around some incredibly important subjects that are only starting to come into view right now. So I'm sure there will be plenty more to discuss. Jakob Nordengard, thank you so much for your time and your work.
Yeah. Thank you for having me again.
The Deep State. False flags, 9/11 truth, the Federal Reserve, secret wars and hidden histories, fake news, medical martial law, ceaseless propaganda. James Corbett, reportage, essays on the New World Order, available where books are sold. Until they're not.
ReportageBook.com